Good morning, everyone. And Happy New Year. I'd like to thank the youth for that excellent opening. It was something, I don't know. It's so different. I get a lot of enjoyment out of the youth being up here and doing the opening by themselves, especially with the mini sermons. But it's good. I really enjoyed that. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. I trust Jesse has no communicable diseases. Before we start, I would just like to introduce somebody to you. Sitting by himself there, down by Rod, Mike Kramer. Coming from Chatham, and he is going to be teaching at Timmins Trinity Christian School, taking Amanda's place when she's on her leave to bring a new member to our congregation. And we really welcome him and hope that he enjoys his stay in South Porcupine for the school, Porcupine for here. I have to get this right, or Peggy will let me know. So. It's really hard to believe that we're already 10 years into 21st century. I just can't believe it. 2010. Wow. It's going to be really hard on the checks. You know, 2000. No, not zero there. Got to put a 10 now. And it's amazing because when I was thinking about it, I was thinking back to the year 2000. We're coming up 1999, and a lot of weird things going through our heads. Like you always say, like a 99 Buick. So what do you say, a 00 Buick, or you know, all these type of things? Like trying to figure out how we're going to refocus our thinking. And then they came up with this. All the geeks came up with these things like, oh, all the computers are going to crash 2000 because they don't recognize the year 2000. They all stop at 1999. And of course, the media just picked up on that, and there's a lot of concern, and everybody's worrying. And I remember they spent millions in the Ontario government going around certifying all our computers, being compliant to Y2K. Remember that, Y2K? People are worried that we wake up on New Year's Day and our water wouldn't work, and all the electrical plants would be down, and Air Canada would be falling out of the sky as midnight comes around because the computers all quit and everything else. And then we woke up New Year's Day. Nothing changed. You know, I was just thinking, oh, wow. You know. So anyways, that was a big disappointment for the media. So what do they do now? Now they're worried about 2012. Big thing. Some Mayan calendar runs out in 2012, so the world's going to end, apparently. And they made a really good movie. Well, not a good movie, actually. It was apparently a horrible movie about 2012. And the media are picking up on that again, and they have something else now to write about. I don't know. Has anybody got a Bible that says that there's a date for the end times? It's not in mine. I don't think I'm going to lose much sleep over that. 10 years ago, I was only 52 years old. The youth are looking at me like, that's still old. But, Mr. Malnick, 10 years ago, you were only, how old? 6? Steve, you're only 10 years old. Yeah. And Nicholas, whose birthday is today, he was only 4 years old, 10 years ago. It is significant, 10 years. Believe me, 52 feels a lot different than 62 as well. A few sad facts about 2010. our automobiles have depreciated another $2,000. Most of the software in our computers is probably getting closer to being obsolete, especially if you're unfortunate enough to upgrade to Windows 7. Roof of our chapel is 1 year closer to having to be replaced. Our earthly bodies are now a year older. And there are a few more aches and pains. But Mrs. D assures me that's just God telling us that we are alive, right? For many, 2009 was very challenging and somewhat stressful year. Started out okay, but for reasons I don't want to get into, many of us became financially poor. As the year progressed, our investments were worthless. Many of us lost jobs or had less income at our disposal because of cutbacks. Some of our church family had serious health issues. Some probably even had their faith shaken by the serious events that took place during the year. However, on the brighter side, we also saw babies being brought into our families. And for us, Sally and I, it was our granddaughter, Carolina. Younger and older people found the Lord and were baptized. And we even saw our own youth group heading up on their first short-term mission trip. So it was definitely an eventful year. The dawning of a new year or decade always brings with it new hopes. And Jesse, Maple Leafs may make the playoffs this year. Hope springs eternal. But our hopes often define who we are. As a message for the new year, I'd like to focus on something that to me as a Christian and being part of a church family is very important. And that message is that each new year brings with it the hope that our own family members and friends who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ may come to know Him. And I think this is something that's really important in all our hearts. This hope even extends into our community as we pray that we as a church can become part of that community revival. Victor and Nicholas sang a wonderful song that was written by Mark Hall, Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body. This song defines how this hope can be realized and is based on 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, where it says, Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. Wow. I'm a body of Christ. But what does that mean? So we turn our Bibles to Romans 12. And if you have a few Bibles, it's on verse 1763. And we'll start at the first verse. Are we looking for this?
Yeah.
You're welcome. Okay, starting at the first verse, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. What I understand from this is that I am part of the body of Christ, and that I cannot work in isolation from other believers. I have been given some, but not all, the gifts of the Spirit. I need to fellowship with other believers and work alongside them to bring others to the kingdom of God. Mark Hall originally wrote that song for his youth group in Alabama. That's one thing I've remembered about Mark Hall. He is a youth leader. He's a youth pastor. And it's just by God's grace, I guess, that his particular youth band that they had in the church became popular. But he still is a youth pastor, and he still deals with youth. And he wrote that for him. His youth group in Alabama, and to help, he wrote it to help them understand what James meant when he wrote chapter 2 of his letter. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Let's look at the words again. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. In looking back at James chapter 2, Mark Hall saw this was a problem in the many churches that he was involved with that hampered the ability of those congregations to bring new folk to Christ. And he called it a circle. Now, a circle is a tightly knitted group of friends that spend their time together wherever they are, including in church. That is where the problem is. A circle is great if you're part of it or inside the circle. The problem is that not everyone is part of the circle, and this really hampers seekers coming into a church or assembly for the first time. It also hampers those within your church family who may be socially challenged due to a variety of circumstances in their life. The circle trait can be found among children, youth, adults, found in schools, playgrounds, youth groups, offices, Bible studies, everywhere. Circles can become very hurtful if they tend to become judgmental about those outside the circle. And circles can also be very exclusive. I think we all recognize circles. We've all come across circles sometime in our life where we've been excluded. Trust me, I'm not saying that being part of a circle of close friends is wrong. It's far from it. However, when this circle starts to hamper our ability as a church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, then it becomes a serious spiritual problem. Being transient people for a good part of our married lives, Sally and I have experienced this problem in churches and found that the longer that the church existed, the tighter and more judgmental of outsiders the circles became. In fact, circles seem to almost take ownership of the church and become exclusive of outsiders. And as you can well imagine, there were not a whole lot of younger people in these churches. I wonder why. And the population tended to have a lot of gray hair. There was no room for growth, only slow death. Joining BFA in the mid-90s was, to us, Sally and I, a wonderful and positive experience as we felt accepted, welcomed, and loved right from the beginning. It's when we came to BFA that both of us actually started to grow spiritually. Sure, there were circles of friends. A lot of BFAers have known each other since childhood. But these circles did not exclude newcomers, such as us, to the assembly, and were open and interested to us. In fact, I credit the youth groups and the young leaders in BFA and First Baptist for helping our daughter, Emily, develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we just praise God for that. But how do people come to know BFA as a family of believers? Gets back to the song. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Dave and Becky Jenkinson were responsible for introducing us to BFA. They reached out to us. And without them, I'm not sure whether or not we would have come here. And we thank God for Dave and Becky for doing that for us. I remember spending time with Dave over at our place, and he just explained to us about BFA, explaining what it's like to be part of BFA. And we really appreciated the effort he put out. Funny, you don't forget things like that. Seekers aren't going to come to BFA uninvited. Seekers need to be approached by people who show that they care for them. This is where ministries such as hospital visitations, serving breakfast at the Good Samaritan inns like we're doing next Saturday, reaching out to young mothers, working in special community events such as the Christmas Tale at First Baptist, where 20 people were saved over the weekend, providing a caring ear at Harmony House like the ladies do there, running children and youth camps at Northland. They're all important tools for introducing Christ to those who don't know him. God not only gave us special spiritual gifts, but also a purpose for being here on earth. If we are the body, we need, as the song says, to reach out, to heal, to teach others about the good news of his gospel. And we need to do it together, taking advantage of the various spiritual gifts that God gave us. When ministry becomes important to us collectively, we will see growth not only in our assembly, but in other churches in the community as well. To do this, we need to get out of this building and go out into the community and not expect the community to find us. We cannot be a circle unto ourselves. We also need to work with other churches and assemblies in the community and area, supporting them in their ministries and letting them support us in ours. We're all part of the family of God, whether we're Brethren, Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, or Free Methodist. We all have different ways of worshiping and praising God, but the underlying reasons we exist is that we all love God and appreciate the free gift that Jesus Christ gave us for our salvation. Our youth center works in that principle. We believe that all churches need to work together to bring youth to Christ and that we need to support each other in this ministry. Our own BFA youth take part in youth ministries, not just in BFA, but also at First Baptist, Grace Bible Chapel, and Timmins and South Perkman Pentecostal churches. They're all over the place. If they're with the grid on Friday night, they're at Grace on Saturday night. I think this is wonderful. I praise God for this. Timmins Christian Youth have found an extended family of believers within the city. Funny enough, the two common denominators for most of them is Northland Bible Camp and youth rallies. That's where a lot of them got to know each other. In fact, this weekend, I think there's youth up from Sudbury again. So, you know, among youth in northeastern Ontario, it's a community. 60% of those who attend our BFA youth Bible study on Sunday mornings were not raised in BFA. They made the choice to come here. Majority of those who attend our youth support group Facing Giants are not regular BFA attenders. Some don't even attend church yet. They're seeking. My youth leader friends at First Baptist and Grace Bible Chapel can tell similar stories. We've compared notes. Several of those who attend our Thursday night Bible study with the Bendels are from other churches. We just enjoy studying and sharing together. A New Year's challenge to everyone is to become an active part of our assembly's outreach. That's what my message is. To use your spiritual gifts to help us collectively to introduce those folk in our community who do not know him to Christ. BFA as a building is a perfect place for us to gather and praise and worship our Lord and Savior, to grow in our knowledge of the gospel, and to socialize as Christian brothers and sisters. However, we need to go beyond the doors of this beautiful building and reach our arms out into this community. Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 19, 20 said this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." He didn't tell them to remain in the upper room. He told them to go and do this work for him. I urge everyone to pray about this. Seriously, pray about this. If you wish to become part of BFA's outreach ministries and are not sure what your gifts are or how to use them, I encourage you, talk to one of the deacons or elders. If you have ideas and would like to share them, again, talk to us. We would love to hear from you. Let's work together alongside other Bible-believing churches and assemblies towards a Christ-centered spiritual revival in this city. It would be a wonderful 100th anniversary present for the city of Timmins, wouldn't it? Amen. I'd like to close by singing hymn number 379. It's a very prayerful hymn. I'd like to use this as our closing prayer. I'll have to get my own prayer book, I guess. Thank you. 379. Take my life and let it be.
Take my life and let it be.
Amen.